Hey folks, welcome back to Who's Back? Who's Back? Who's Next? Who's Back? We're Back. I'm back with Jason Mann. I'm Stephen Graham. And we are going through Goldberg's career, match by match, in order. And on episode 2, it's the second Nitro, where he faces the Barbarian, September 29th, 1997. The Barbarian. Do you love the Barbarian like I do, Jason?
I love the Barbarian. I don't know exactly how much you love the Barbarian, but I think the Barbarian is absolutely wonderful. Really fun, powerful wrestler. Has he had a nifty career, you know, took him to a lot of places. And it's mostly WCW Barbarian that I love. WWE Barbarian, not quite as strong, maybe because he was saddled with the Warlord for a lot of that time. I wasn't as big of a fan of, but WCW Barbarian, absolutely. I don't think it's so too far to go to use the word treasure. I think Barbarian, yeah, he was a treasure. Yeah.
What did you think about the furry trunks you wore in the WWF?
They were okay. I mean, I don't know, maybe it was a little bit too on the nose, but you know, I didn't have a problem with the fur trunks. They were fine. I will say one negative about the Barbarian Faces of Fear era is that the tights, they're a little generic. You know, they could have been a little bit more colorful or more. You just could have had a little bit more oomph. A lot of blacks during that time in late 90s wrestling. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more color.
What's your favorite Barbarian outfit?
Ooh.
I love Powers of Pain, like, early on. Like, it's obviously not his best run, because he's teaming with the Warlord, but
sure.
The face paint and the tassels, especially, I think, did he still have the tassels at WrestleMania 6 when he faced Tito? Because, man, I love that match, and I love, like, I thought, you know, here's a dude that's ready to be a superstar at the time.
Yes, I unfortunately my memory does not serve me as to whether he still had the tassels.
Me neither.
During that match, although it's a fun one, you know, Tito's another favorite as well, so I'm always good. I seem to recall, and I'm not sure if it was during the actual match or just outfits of the time, but the Barbarian Ron Simmons match from Halloween Havoc 92, or maybe that was more black and generic.
I think he still had face paint though.
He did have face paint though, yes.
Okay.
So the face paint look was great, you know.
Yeah.
I'm gonna, by default, without having a more specific memory of the outfits, I'm also gonna go with the era that you speak of. So definitely the wrestling not as good in WWE, but the outfits I think overall were superior in WWE.
I remember early, like when I was renting tapes back in the olden days, when you'd go to the video store and rent tapes, they had this one, I think it was a PWI New Japan tape. And the Barbarian was on it, and he didn't have face paint, and it, like, blew my mind. It's like, what the fuck is this? Why does the Barbarian not have face paint? And I couldn't handle it as a young child at the time. So that's
okay.
One of my big memories of the Barbarian early on.
Just for an update, Ron Simmons is wearing like a sort of a lime greenish yellow trunks, and Barbarian is wearing black, but he does have the face paint during that encounter. So, it is difficult to tell. I don't believe he has tassels, unfortunately.
I think that's the optimum then. I'm not sure. I think the tassels a little much.
Yeah, you know, I think you. You know, I think less is more with the tassels, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. So, we're back to Goldberg here. We saw him squash, not really a squash. It wasn't a squash at all. But he beat Hugh Morris after taking some punishment.
Yeah.
He didn't no-sell anything, which you kind of expect in a character like this.
Yeah.
He took a little bit of a beating and then used his power to make a comeback. But now, you know, it's week 2. Mike Tenay's done some research. This is when he reveals that about the college football background at Georgia and the NFL background at with the Atlanta Falcons, which them being based in Atlanta, you think they should have known? Maybe.
Yes. Well, Bill Goldberg was not a particularly famous NFL player. I think he may have been more notable in college, but you know, it is reasonable to believe that someone would not necessarily have immediately known, oh, okay, that this Bill Goldberg is that same Goldberg who played football. You know, granted, the company that employs him, you would think that maybe that message would have been communicated to the announcers, but so I think we're stretching credibility there. But it wasn't like Goldberg in football was famous enough that he would have been you know well known even from someone who you know followed those sports fairly closely.
I did a Google image search, and I think yes. I found the answer.
Okay.
Hair. He had hair. A full head of hair.
He did, yes. He definitely had hair.
So he looks completely different with a bald head.
Yes. I worked with someone who knew Goldberg in college a little bit. He went to the University of Georgia around the same time that Goldberg did. Okay. So I guess the experiences were not particularly pleasant with Goldberg. So,
oh, okay.
For, yeah. One person's opinion, of course.
Yeah. That is one thing, though, I'd like to bring up about Goldberg. And one of the things that makes me happy to watch his stuff and still enjoy it is, from all accounts, he seems like one of the nicest guys in wrestling. As for his, like, charity work and all the stuff he does for youth and his speaking engagements to, like, motivate people and all that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah, he seemed like a cool dude. I remember early on in his career, you know, the internet wrestling rumor machine discussed that he may have gotten a swelled head at a certain point.
How could you success. Not?
Well, yeah, which I think is, you know, again, there are agendas behind what's being said there. But yeah, I think that's a relatively minor you know, if even true, a relatively minor criticism for, you know, someone who seems like he, again, as you talked about, does a lot of charity, like, you know, seems like great with kids, seems like someone who, you know, kind of embraced, like, you know, the good things that are part of being a pro wrestler in terms of, you know, being someone who kind of gave back. So, yeah, seems like a cool dude.
Yeah. One thing we didn't talk about on the first podcast is one of my favorite, probably my favorite, live wrestling experience, at least at a WWE show, was I saw him in Toronto when he made his comeback at Survivor Series, and he squashed Brock Lesnar in 18 seconds.
Right.
That was kind of a magical moment where, like, you know, the whole crowd's chanting Goldberg before he comes out, like the whole entrance, and then there wasn't a chance to kind of stop until we all left the building. Because right. Like, the entrance happens, so you're still cheering, and then they say their names, and you still cheer. And then he hits a spear in, like, 10 seconds, or, like, the first move, so you still cheer. And then he spears him again, and jackhammers him, and it's over. And it's just, like, plus that was a very shocking kind of moment at the time.
Because sure. Yes.
Brock was Brock, and Goldberg was a dude that hadn't wrestled in, you know, 5 years, 10 years, whatever it was at the time. And he's just coming back, and no one could beat Brock, right? And here's Goldberg squashing him.
Right.
And now, you know, here we are. How many years later? 4 more years, and he's champion again.
So, yes. So, fun fact for your listeners. The match that you talked about chronologically is the last professional wrestling match that I have seen. I have not watched a professional wrestling match that took place after that date, November of 2016, as of yet. So, yes, I'm really out of the loop. So, Yes, so I'm probably going to watch some here and there, you know, coming up or so. But I know very little of what has happened in professional wrestling since November 2016. So know a lot about beforehand, but not so much of what's happening. I did know that Goldberg was champion now, though, so you didn't spoil anything for me with that. So, and even if you had, I wouldn't, you know, not I would
Do
not
you
be
know angry who's became the biggest star in wrestling.
Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch, really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
She main evented last WrestleMania.
Oh.
She's main evented a bunch of shows since then. She became kind of the most popular person. Her and Roman were kind of the main two stars on the video game this year. So.
Okay. Wow, yeah. Nice. There you go.
She got a new gimmick and really took off. So.
Nice. All right. Well, I will check that out.
Hell of a promo from her. All right. From the point where around Survivor Series of 2018 and then 2019 winning in the main event of WrestleMania against Ronda and obviously Charlotte, because WWE can't let a good thing be a good thing. But let's talk about good things. Let's pause the podcast. We'll put on this Barbarian match and we'll come back with some thoughts.
Oh, we got some navy blue tights, or trunks there, rather. We got some skulls on it. That's nice, you know.
Is that some color?
Yeah.
Got a hell of a haircut.
It is a great haircut, yeah. Got some tongue going out there, like Michael Jordan, you know? Yeah. Because when I think of, you know, the great athletes in their sports, I think of, you know, Michael Jordan and the Barbarian.
Oh, yeah.
Slipping Gold out of that one.
Out his tongue. So.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
So he's still not quite... That's explosive.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he seems not tentative exactly, but definitely not there with the reckless abandon, that's for sure. So,
yeah.
But strikes, you know, I mean, good. Again, nothing that looks like, you know, like you always go, oh, yeah, well, the jackhammer wasn't the best one right there. That was a little sloppy. But for the most part, like, you know, I remember there being awkward moments, you know, in his early matches especially, and stuff that just didn't look great. But, you know, for the most part, for the first two matches, like, most stuff pretty smooth.
Yeah. So, what do you think about this here? So, we got Goldberg going to the top, doing flying lariats. He does a drop kick to the guy to send him to the floor. Just trying to do, he does a big knee drop. Yeah, so they're doing this weird thing with him. Like, here, he's definitely trying to expand out his offense to be more versatile.
Right, yeah, and it's a surprise, definitely. I mean, he does more moves here than he would do in a lot of his matches. You know, and I guess part of it is probably just experimenting with what's going to work, with what, you know, kind of makes sense for him. As we talked about, I think on the prior episode, I recall there being, you know, kind of some idea of him as being like a hybrid of all these different styles, and, you know, and maybe trying to include some of the more aerial style as part of his arsenals as being like this ultimate weapon of all these different, you know, disciplines kind of coming together. You know, it kind of made sense for that. And like I said, everything that he did in this match actually looked pretty good. The jackhammer at the end was not particularly smooth, but outside of that, I thought it looked pretty good. I thought it was effective. Like, I thought the moves that he did, you know, were all pretty well done.
Yeah. It's interesting. And we're still waiting for the explosiveness. I guess that will come with more confidence, in the ring.
Right.
Cause really, he's still under 10 matches in front of a crowd.
Sure.
Which is insane to think about.
Yeah.
I guess wrestlers today don't wrestle in front of crowds, so.
I know, but they're not. No, this would not be a good time for Goldberg to debut. I just want to say that, you know. I think obviously he hasn't done the spear yet, and that's the move that's really, really the, you know, the explosive move that, I mean, he does other ones with, you know, a lot of sharpness and a lot of power, you know, the press slam into the power slam, you know, stuff like that, all shows a lot of oomph. But, you know, I also think that the explosiveness to a degree is going to get fed on by the crowd reactions, and they're obviously not there yet. So I think those things are going to be, you know, interlinked at a certain point, but it's going to take a while to get there with Goldberg.
Yeah. He also doesn't have the music yet either.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Which is fascinating. So it's a slow build here for Goldberg.
Absolutely.
He has a lot to add to his offense. And we're seeing very little of kind of those MMA submissions that he starts to pull out at some point. We saw some kind of weird, like, monkey flip thing, but we haven't really seen too much of that yet.
Yeah, a couple takedowns, you know, and again, they looked pretty cool, and they were interesting, but yeah, he has not, only limited doses of that so far. Yeah. And also, quick question, where's Jimmy Hart in all this? He's not in Humorous's corner for previous episode, he's not in Barbarian's corner. What's Jimmy doing?
What is Jimmy doing in late 97? I don't know, man. That's weird.
Yeah.
Because he's maybe he was gone. I think he was gone for a little bit. Because I don't think the dungeon, because they really haven't brought up the fact that the dungeon's there. I think once Sullivan retired, that the dungeon kind of went away. And I think Jimmy Hart kind of went away and came back and like reformed the dungeon in the future, is how I remember it.
That sounds familiar. That sounds like something that I believe, you know, could be a thing.
Yeah, because I think the dungeon's done here, so the Barbarian, Hugh Morris, and all these guys are kind of just on their own until because I don't think Jimmy Hart manages Hugh Morris again.
Into
98? Like, do you remember that?
I feel like he did manage them into 98, but I'll be honest. Yeah, Jimmy, the stuff that Jimmy was involved in wasn't really, you know, particularly emphasized during that time. So again, those memories have faded from my mind. But I feel like, yeah, he was still, he was still going out there in like 98 and 99. Maybe not as often, but I feel like he was still, you know, he still kind of served as a manager into the late 90s.
All right. So, Wikipedia says, after the demise of the Dungeon of Doom, Hart recreated the First Family. And the First Family, that brings up to the whole First Family page that includes Memphis. so, that's going back. So, many years later, after the demise of the Dungeon of Doom in World Championship Wrestling in 97, Hart resurrected the First Family concept the following year. So, I guess in 98.
Yeah, 98, 99. Yeah, Hugh Morris and Brian Knobbs.
It says the Barbarian, Jerry Flynn, Brian Knobbs, Hugh Morris. And then it says Hogan, Savage, Luger, and the Giant were part of the First Family? I don't think so. Wikipedia.
I think this has been edited poorly. Now, he managed all those guys at one point.
But I don't
WCW,
think
so. WCW, but
oh,
yeah.
It says WCW. Okay, so they're just mixing up everyone he managed.
Okay. Yep.
Weird.
Interesting.
But they don't mention Ming.
Well, I mean, Ming is not someone who can be managed. I mean, Ming is his own, you know, he's his own force, you know. I mean, was Jimmy Hart ever officially Ming's manager? Maybe he just managed Barbarian when they were the faces of fear. Maybe, you know, Ming didn't need one. Didn't want one. No interest.
As Bobby Heenan said, I don't think he even liked me when I managed
him. Right. Yeah, exactly.
That's a good way to end it, talking about Ming. So, thanks everyone for joining us on this episode. We'll be back next time as Goldberg faces his first big roadblock on WCW Saturday. I wiggled my eyebrows when I said that.
Yeah, that's good.
Battle and the next two competitors are in the ring for this one-on-one matchup. And we take a look for the second straight week here at Bill Goldberg, a man that really shocked us last week. Only thing we knew was his name. And Mike, you knew nothing more about him, and that surprised us as well. What have you found out about this big, powerful man this week?
Well, Tony, in the last 7 days, I've done a little investigative work. I've come up with some notes on the athletic career, the background of Bill Goldberg. I can tell you that he was originally from Tulsa, Oklahoma. And he was recruited as a football player by the University of Georgia. He went on to become an All-SEC, Southeastern Conference defensive lineman at the University of Georgia, 1986 to 1989, and then on to a career in the National Football League with the Atlanta Falcons.
How about that?
So quite an athlete in Bill Goldberg.